Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So today, since tomorrow is Ram Navami, I'll be talking about some incidents and lessons from the Ramayana. And I'll be speaking on the theme of Hanuman's devotion to Ram and what we can learn from that. Yesterday evening, I spoke about how Hanuman was able to bring about the union between Ram and Sugriv. And today we will move forwards from there. If we consider the Ramayana, the section of the Ramayana where Hanuman appears is the Kishkindakand, the Aranyakand, the Kishkindakand. That is the time when he appears. And then he comes into his own in the Sundarkand. So the word Sundar has many different significances. If you consider all the other sections of the Ramayana, they are either describing the events there or the location. There is the Balakand, it describes the childhood activities of Ram. The Ayodhya Kand describes the activities in Ayodhya. The Aranya Kand describes what happens in the forest. There is the Yuddha Kand, it describes the activity. The Uttar Kand is the final Kand. The Kishkin Kand is actually the geographical location again. The Sundar Kand is the only Kand that is neither seems to be related with the activity directly or the place. So there are acharyas who have given different meanings for this. Sundar refers at one level to that was one of the names that Hanuman was given. It's a very attractive child. Another understanding is that actually it is permeated with the beauty of devotion. And in fact, this is the only Kand in the whole Ramayana where Ram is present the minimum. In fact, the Kand begins with Ram seeing Hanuman off. And the whole Kand is about the search for Sita, in which Ram is not present. And then Hanuman jumps across Lanka, goes there, finds Sita, does heroic adventures over there, and then he returns. And when he returns, he unites with Ram. And that is where the role of Ram directly comes. So, at the beginning and at the end. And yet, the Lord's presence is felt actually the most in this Kand. Kapivara santata chintita Rama Vanara duta preshak Rama. So, it is described that Lord Ram sent Vanara duta. He sent messengers who are out to search for Sita. That's what he sent. Vanara duta preshak Rama. And then as the Vanaras were going out, what did the Kapivara? Kapivara means among the monkeys, they were the best. Foremost. Santata chintita Rama. They were constantly remembering him. This is describing the Nama Ramayana, which is 108 names of Ram, which describe chronologically the full Ramayana. So, like sometimes if students don't study for the exam, then there is a crash course. Just do this and pass the exam. So it is said that if you can't recite the whole Ramayana, this is a crash course. Just recite the 108 names of Ramayana and of Ram in the Nama Ramayana, you get the benefit of reciting the Ramayana. So each name is related with one particular pastime. So in this particular Kand of the Ramayana, there is basically the presence of Ram in the absence of Ram. The presence of Ram is in his remembrance. The presence of Ram in the absence of Ram is in his remembrance. So, Kapivara Santata Chintita Rama. They were always remembering him. And the height of it comes, the height of this emotion of recollection and separation will come when Ram is recollected in the discussion between Sita and Hanuman. So that time there are two great devotees of Ram, the consort of Ram and the greatest and the servant of Ram. Both of them are separated from Ram. And both of them are remembering him very intensely. So the dramatic climax of the Ramayana will come in the next cant where there is a yuddha that is going to happen. But the emotional climax, in one sense, comes over here. Because there is the intense remembrance by both of them. So we will go towards that in due course. But here, let's focus on the situation that starts off this incident. Hanuman is a powerful Vanara, but he is not considered the foremost of the Vanaras. Vali had been the king earlier and Sugriva had been his assistant. And Hanuman was one of the assistants of Sugriva, who had been exiled. Or rather, who had fled for his life and was living in exile. At that time, Hanuman is resourceful, he is intelligent, but he has not done anything spectacular till then. Among all the Vanaras, Ram meets Hanuman first. And it's Hanuman who introduces him to Sugriva. And in that sense, among all the Vanaras, just simply from the fact of the first meeting, Hanuman has a special place for Ram. But it's not just because of the first meeting. It is also because of the great devotion that Hanuman has. And not just because of the great devotion, as will be seen eventually, he has great prowess, great heroism, great courage, which will be eventually seen. But before that, when Ram is departing, when Ram is arranging for the armies, for the divisions of the monkeys to go in four different directions, Sugriva is arranging and Ram is overseeing it all. At that time, Angad is made the head of the division that is going southwards. And Ram, at that time, calls Hanuman. Hanuman is going there as an assistant. So when Hanuman goes there as the assistant, at that time, his focus, he singles out Hanuman and he tells that, you know, Sampatti saw Ravana going in the southern direction. Even Jatayu had said that actually he's going in the southern direction. In the Ramayana, there are many characters who are actually brothers. Vali and Sugriva are brothers. Sampatti and Jatayu are brothers. So, Vali and Sugriva are brothers who reconcile at the last moment through Ram. Sampatti and Jatayu, they don't meet once again once they are separated, but they both meet in the service of the Lord. Jatayu lays down his life serving for the Lord, and Sampatti actually in a sense gains his life back by serving the Lord. He has been immobilized because he had lost his wings. When Jatayu and Sampatti were flying high into the sky, they had their young blood and adventurous spirit. So they wanted to go to the sun. And then, normally, when both of them started going up, both of them had that adventurous spirit. But still, because Sampatti was older among the two, so he had some responsible spirit also. When he saw the heat was becoming too much, he covered Jatayu with his wings in order to shield him. But the result was that his wings got burned. So it's interesting, for both the birds, something similar happened. They both lost their birds, they both lost their wings. So Sampatti lost his wings in trying to protect Jatayu, and Jatayu lost his wings in trying to protect Sita. Now, for every living being, there is some particular feature of the body which is vitally important. So each living being has its defining feature. So for the birds, it is primarily their wings. That's what enables them to fly. So to lose the wings signifies the greatest loss, practically speaking. So Jatayu, he loses his wings before he loses his life. That means that, you know, he keeps fighting till he loses everything. Ultimately, he loses his life. But for Sampatti, whatever he has lost, his wings had been lost, but when he gets when he fulfills his service, he tells the Vanaras later that actually Jatayu, that Ram had, that Ravana had gone that side. This whole incident will come later, but I'm just drawing a correlation over here to illustrate a point that at that time his wings come back and then he flies away and he attains elevation. So at this point Jatayu has told that they go in southern direction, and Sugriva and the monkeys have also seen Ravana going in the southern direction. So Ram tells Sugriva that, sorry, Ram tells Hanuman that it is the party that is going in the south that is most likely to find Sita. And if you find her, I would like to give you a signet, a memento, a symbol that you are my authorized representative. And through that, she will recognize you and she will accept you as someone who has genuinely come from me. So this is both an act of trust and an act of preparation. In the sense that he's preparing Hanuman that when you meet, we'll talk later about how, it's a very beautiful incident, how Hanuman wins the trust of Sita. That is very significant for us to understand how relationships work and how we can build trust in relationships. But at this stage, it is Ram who is expressing trust in Hanuman and is also preparing Hanuman for the eventual situation that he's going to encounter. The human mind works in different ways in different situations. When we are entrusted some responsibility, sometimes the mind may interpret the responsibility as a burden. Oh, I have to do this. But sometimes the mind may interpret that as, oh, you trust me, I can do this? Yes, I'll try my best. So sometimes the trust that is reposed, the expectation that is put, the expectation can inspire and sometimes the expectation can burden. So we all live in a relational world where every relationship means that there is some contribution that is made and there is some expectation that is added. So in a relationship, if somebody has too much expectation and they make too little contribution, then the relationship starts getting strained. If we start saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, we expect people to do a lot and we don't do even one thing that they want us to do, then they say, why should I do all this? So every relationship is based on reciprocation. Now, for Ram, he is offering this symbol of trust to Hanuman. And Hanuman is overwhelmed with gratitude that Ram is specially trusting him, entrusting him. So by entrusting him that signet, he's trust, showing his trust for him. And Hanuman feels enlivened. The whole party goes off at that time. And they meet with various dangers at different times. And they go through all those dangers. And finally, Hanuman is the only person who is capable of jumping across Lanka, across the ocean to get to Lanka. And he jumps through. All that is also a great adventure. We'll focus on the theme of the Sundar Kanda, which is the presence of Ram and the absence of Ram. So we will not talk about his jump or his adventures, his various things. We'll just focus right now on the theme that he just so heroically, so fearlessly goes over all obstacles. It is the journey that is difficult. But it is not that sometimes we go through a very difficult journey to meet someone and then they are there to welcome us. It's nice. At least at the end of the journey, there is somebody who loves us, somebody who welcomes us. But here, after a long journey, there is no welcome. There is suspicion. So it's after the journey ends, the journey itself is challenging. But after the journey ends, another bigger challenge begins actually. So Srila Prabhupada's journey was also like that. Now, coming to America was very difficult single-handedly. But after coming, there was no welcoming party. There's absolutely no one. You know, he had to make everything on his own. So that is quite difficult for him. When he somehow, with great effort, he finally finds Sita. But even after finding Sita, that's not enough. Sita has never met him. Sita doesn't even know who she is. At least in this particular era. They are all eternal associates. But when the Lord descends to the world, at that time, he doesn't always, most of the times, he as well as associates act as if they are normal human beings. And so in that case, that's why they have not never met. So Hanuman is a majestic warrior, but he's a purposeful warrior. So he sneaks in, taking a very tiny form, enters into Lanka, slips around, and finally comes to the Ashokavatika, which is Ravana's favorite gardens. And that's where he has kept Sita. And Ravana himself comes again and again to try to tempt Sita. He uses, in trying to pressure Sita, he uses what is called as the good cop, bad cop strategy. Good cop, bad cop strategy is that if there is a prisoner whom the police want them to confess, so what they do is, there is one cop who comes in and acts as the bad cop. They will threaten, beat and abuse, and you will be destroyed if you don't do this. And after this person has beaten him, threatened him, tormented him, almost, and the good cop comes along. Hey, I don't know, what a terrible thing. If I had known, I would have stopped and I was not here. See, but he's also doing his job. I'll ensure that he doesn't do this again. But you also have to help me. You reveal something. So they both come together, and through that they weaken the person. It's that those who are in criminology, basically, they say that if you are always good or if you are always bad, it doesn't work as effectively if you alternate between good and bad. So Ravana, when he would come, he would promise, "No, you can be my chief queen. All the opulence of Lanka will be for you." And then he had all these demonesses with him who were guarding Sita. And they would threaten her. Some of them had the job of threatening her. They said, "If you don't succumb to, if you don't surrender to Ravana, you'll be ruined, you'll be destroyed. Ram will never come. Ram must already be dead also." And there are others who would allure him. Ram himself would sometimes tempt and sometimes threaten. So Hanuman was sitting on a tree and observing all this. He was very intelligent. So because of his intelligence, he could see one thing and he could perceive everything that was happening. He could see Sita was, when Ravana would come along. Now Hanuman, he could see this is Sita, and he could see that she was very apprehensive. She had pulled her body very close to her, pulling her legs also to just try to create as much distance as from Ravana as possible. And he could see the fear on Sita's face, the disgust on her face, and he felt appalled. At the same time, he didn't want to detect his presence. He didn't want his presence to be detected, so he just waited. So Ravana finished his whole succession of threatening her, tempting her. Ravana, what he would do is, every night when he would sleep, after waking up, the first thing, he would remember Sita and he would just go to Sita. Try to tempt her or threaten her, and then not succeed, then he would go back. So Hanuman had been searching all over the Lanka at night. He had started from the coastline in the morning. He had traveled all day and he had reached Lanka. Eventually, when there, using the cover of night, he had searched. And by the time he found Ashokavatika, it was the morning. So it is early morning. So Ravana had just come in. And when Ravana went away in half, actually, Ravana just came straight by the tree where Hanuman was sitting. So, but Ravana was so caught in his infatuation with Sita, he didn't notice anything. I think out of place. Even if he had noticed, it's just another monkey over there. So then Hanuman came closer to Sita. And when he came close, at that time he started thinking, how do I approach her? So then he found a solution. He said that the best way to do is the Rakshasis, they had been threatening her, tempting her, but finally they just went and started a little distance away from her so that they could do their own thing. So Sita was a little bit alone at that time. They were still guarding, but they gave her a little privacy. So they had threatened her, they just let her alone to think. So then at that time, Hanuman went close to the tree on which he was sitting, Sita was sitting under which, and there he started singing the glories of Ram. He started speaking various pastimes of Ram. And when Sita was sitting and watching, she heard it. She was surprised, started looking, where is this coming from? In the whole of Lanka, there are all kinds of sounds, but they were in glorification of Ravana. The thing was in the glorification of Ram. So for her heart just swelled in joy. But at the same time, when she looked up and she saw, who is this? Normally a sage or a Brahmana or some kind of person like that may glorify Ram. So this is the monkey. Who is this monkey? So she immediately, initially she was delighted, but then she became suspicious. What is this? You know, could this be some agent of Ravana who has taken the form of a monkey? It said that if you are bitten once, if you are burnt once, then you are twice shy. If you put our finger in some heated milk, and is it hot? Ah, it's burnt. Next time, you know, you will be very, very cautious about touching. Right. So similarly, once Sita had been deluded by the form-changing demons. Ravana had tempted her to come out, actually misled her into coming out of her cottage, out of the Lakshman Rekha. So now she was very cautious. So she saw this monkey. Who is this monkey? How is he speaking about Ram? So Hanuman very gently just continued speaking about Ram, and he jumped down and then he approached her and he continued speaking about Ram. And he not only spoke about the pastimes of Ram, which are generally known to everyone. When he saw that he had got Sita's attention, then he started speaking about incidents from their life which no one knew. So that's what he was trying to do. So he told about how once Ram and Sita were in the forest, at that time there was a bird who came, and that bird started approaching Sita, accosting Sita. And when he started accosting Sita, at that time she started flapping the bird away, and then Ram noticed. And then Ram took just a grass from it and just hurled the grass. And that grass became like had the force of a missile, of an arrow, started charging across. And this bird flew all over. Nowhere could he escape the missile-like grass. And finally, that bird came and surrendered to Ram itself. And that bird was actually a manifestation of Indra. He had become attracted to Sita, and at that time Ram had punished him. So now this was an incident which had happened in Chitrakoti when Lakshman had not been there over there. So when she spoke this, who is this? Who are you? Her guard started going down a little lower. And at that time Hanuman spoke. He said, I am the servant of Ram. He says, Ram, for searching for you, has formed an alliance with Sugriva. Sugriva is the king of the Vanaras, and I am his servant. And as he continued speaking, slowly but surely, he started winning her trust. So generally, whenever we approach people, anyone, approach a new person whom we don't know, or even someone whom we know but we don't know very well, so we all have a security wall that we put between us and others. Of course, when we are staying at home, we have a door which protects us. So if we are in some office or somewhere, there is security which is a major concern. So we have even guards which guard at that time. So now, when there is a door, at that time, if we're not expecting anyone and somebody rings the bell. Then if we have a camera, the camera may be at the door and we look who's actually there. If we don't have a camera, then we may go and we look through a peephole. Now, who is this person? We look at the person. Does it look familiar or not familiar? And then even if, we may open the door, we may first have a chain by which we open the door a little bit so that the person can't barge in. So basically, just as physically, we don't let anyone else come into our house. We don't let anyone who's unfamiliar come close to us. The same applies at an emotional level also, at a relational level also. So when we have to meet someone, at that time, we have to get them to lower their guarding walls, open their guarding doors. And without that, things cannot move forward. So Hanuman, his purpose, he could simply have said, my purpose is to find Sita. He could simply have found Sita and gone back. His purpose was, give the signal to Sita. He could have just gone it and gone back. But he did not just stop with that. He actually had a very emotionally rich and fulfilling reciprocation with Sita. And that he gave assurance to Sita, confidence to Sita that Ram loves you, Ram remembers you, Ram is searching for you, Ram is soon going to come. And he was able to do all this because he earned her trust. And for earning that trust, what did he do? He first and foremost focused on that which is common between him and her. The two of them are unknown. They don't know each other. He has heard about Sita. And Sita also probably saw some monkeys down there. But Sita was at that time in panic, being abducted. So she may or may not recognize him also from there. But even if she recognizes him, how does she know that he is trustworthy? So what he does is, he speaks about the common, that is the Lord. And as he speaks about the Lord, by that, the trust starts building. The doors of the heart start opening. In general, when we relate with people, we presume many things. There are many things which you just assume this is the way things are. But those things may be obvious for us, they may not be obvious for someone else. But to the extent we make these assumptions, to that extent we can actually move forward. Once a traffic cop caught a person who was speeding, and this person told the person, did he not see the traffic sign? Did he not see the speed limit? The person said, yes, I saw the speed limit, cop. I just didn't see you. What that means is that usually we think that there is nothing wrong in doing wrong if you're not caught for doing wrong. So that's what people think, that actually if I can just get away with it, what is the problem? So the problem was not that I was speeding, the problem was that you were seeing me. So here what has happened, the cop is expecting that there should be some respect for law. Did you see the speed limit? But there is, among this person, there's no respect for the law. There is only fear about the consequences of breaking the law. And if I'm not caught, then there's no problem at all. So when two people are interacting, if there is no common point in terms of what is the common interest or what is it that they share, what is their expectation of each other? Without that, we can't move forward. So what Ram, what Hanuman does is, he simply glorifies Ram. Now, by glorifying Ram, he doesn't start by glorifying Sita. Oh, how devoted you are. In spite of all this trouble, you remain faithful to him. He doesn't do that. Because that would have raised a suspicion further. So, Ravana tried that initially. When Ravana, he wanted to abduct Sita, he first thought that I will just do it by winning her over. So he started praising his own, he started praising Sita's beauty. And he started describing his own wealth. She thought, by this, I will win over Sita. But Hanuman did not do that. Hanuman simply glorified Ram. In fact, we see how Ravana actually misled Sita and how Hanuman earned the trust of Sita. In one sense, you could say Ravana also earned the trust of Sita. But it was temporarily. He misled her. It was not exactly earning her trust. He misled her by his appearance and his words. Ravana, initially he took on a garb. His purpose of taking on a garb and Hanuman's purpose in taking a garb, they were entirely different. Ravana took on a garb because he wanted to deceive Sita. He eventually wanted to abduct her. Hanuman took on a garb because he wanted to reach Sita so that he could eventually unite Sita with Ram. So both of them changed their appearances. It's not the action that is important. More important, action is important, but more important than the action is the intention. Ravana and Hanuman both changed their forms, but their purposes were entirely different. Ravana, even if he took on the form of a saintly person, his consciousness had not changed. His consciousness was still demonic. And what did Ravana do? He had a typical materialistic mentality. So when a boy wants to woo a girl, what does he do? He praises the girl's beauty. And then he praises his own wealth. And then he trashes the competition. Why are you going to her? Why are you going to him? So although Sita was married, he had no respect for the vows of marriage. So he says, Ram, what are you doing with him? He's a poverty-stricken prince. He has been abandoned even by his own father rejected him. See, what can he give you? So when Sita heard this, she was furious. She was disturbed by it, but still she respected because he looked like a saintly person. But his intention was simply to manipulate Sita. So actually, Hanuman's intention was to reunite Sita with Ram. So when eventually Sita got his trust, and he first spoke the glories of Ram, then spoke some intimate pastimes of Ram and Sita which nobody else knew, and then he gave the signet. She got the signet. At that time, her trust was completely won over. So Hanuman, it is said, is Buddhimatam Varishtam. He is the most intelligent among intelligent people. Now, intelligence also has different aspects to it. Intelligence can be in terms of remembrance of facts. So in religious circles, it can be remembrance of scripture. Intelligence can also be in terms of knowing what to do at what time. Nowadays, people talk a lot about emotional intelligence. That you should be sensitive to others' emotions, know how your own emotions are acting, and respond appropriately. So Hanuman, he exhibits intelligence in such a way that he completely wins over Sita and then reassures Sita about Ram's imminent arrival. And once Sita understands what Ram is, what has happened, that Hanuman is really Ram's representative, then she starts speaking. She starts pouring out her heart, telling about how Ravana is threatening her, how she is alone over there, how she is being tempted and threatened. And then she says that actually, within one year, he has given me time of 1 year, within which I have to surrender to him. If I don't, he will kill me. When the vision is of sense gratification, When one wants to enjoy the senses, one basically objectifies others. Others simply become objects by which we can enjoy. So at one level, Ravana wanted Sita as his queen. So if you don't become my queen, you will become my breakfast. So it is complete. Is not treating Sita as a person in her own right. It is objectified. When Hanuman heard this, he was alarmed. He said, if there's a great danger, actually there's not much time. You know, because Ram, he wanted to immediately search for Sita. But it took him several weeks to reach, it took him some time to reach till Sugriva. But then Sugriva, even after he became the king, the four months of Chaturmasya started. So at that time the rains were very heavy. Normally you say, okay, if some loved one is lost, you won't keep rains from stopping you from searching. But at that particular time, what happened was that because Vali had been Indra's son and Vali had been killed, so Indra was furious. And Indra poured rains torrentially. The monkeys are used to living in the forest, and monkeys can move about in the forest also quite easily, even when it is raining. But these rains were rains of the kind which nobody had seen before. So because of those torrential rains, for those 4 months they couldn't do anything. And then it took time for them to search. Sugriva had given them 1 month to search and come back. So it had taken them 6 weeks to finally come to the banks of to the ocean coast. And so a lot of time had passed. So Hanuman said that this is a great danger for your life. You just come with me immediately. I'll carry you. Now, sometimes what happens is, when we take on a form, we put on some other facade. At that time, normally we may we may impersonate in a particular way, we may act in a particular way. But then, when suddenly some rush of emotions comes, at that time we forget, okay, I'm supposed to act in this way. Mm-hmm. And then we start acting in our normal way. So I knew one devotee who was earlier a spy. So he was a spy in the government. So he was telling me that actually, if somebody is from India and that person is to be a spy in, say, some country like Russia. So he learns Russian and he speaks Russian very fluently. So what they test is that one of the tests that he had was that he was sleeping one day and suddenly somebody just threw a bucket of water on him. Normally, when we wake up disturbed from sleep, we get angry and we may curse. So they're checking whether you curse in Russian or you curse in Hindi. So if at that time you curse in your mother tongue, that means you're still not trained enough. So even in the most emergency situation, you should be able to act as if you are a Russian. So only a trained to that extent, then you can actually become a spy. So in the case of Hanuman, what happened is that he was here in the small form. He sneaked in like a small creature, a small monkey. And he said, Sita, you know, you can come with me, I'll carry you. Now he had forgotten that he was in a small form. He had forgotten that. He said, come, you'll carry me. So Sita became amused. He said, oh, monkey, you know, you have the body of a monkey and you also have a brain of a monkey, you know. How can you carry me? You are so small. Now, Hanuman is a warrior. For a warrior to have his strength questioned, it's a great challenge. It's like, say, somebody, say, suppose you are a teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. And then, you know, it happened to me once that I had gone to one Middle East country. And there, when we go to that country, some countries we can't wear saffron. Mm-hmm. So then I went to the temple, and the devotee who had taken me to temple, he just parked me over there, and I had gone in civil clothes, shirt, pant. So then I was planning to go to the temple and then change into saffron before I give the class. In the temple we can wear saffron, but not publicly. Mm-hmm. So when I went to the temple, so at that time I was not at all wearing any kind of devotional clothes. Mm-hmm. So one devotee came there and started preaching to me. So, do you know the Bhagavad Gita? So, you mean I know the Bhagavad Gita, I write on the Bhagavad Gita every day. So, that ego comes out at that time. So obviously I know the Bhagavad Gita. But then I thought that, you know, he doesn't know, you know, I'm not wearing devotee clothes right now. So, he doesn't know. So, I just calm myself down. So, then, for Hanuman, you think I am not strong enough to carry you? So he felt his strength challenged by that. And then, immediately right in front of Sita's eyes, Sita was looking down at him like this. It just became bigger and bigger and bigger. It took a giant form. And he became so big. He says, I can easily carry you across. He says, yes, you can carry me. And Sita said, yes, can carry me. But if you carry me like this, what will be the difference between Ravana and Ram? He says, in Ram's absence, Ravana took me away from there. And in Ravana's absence, if Ram comes and Ram sends the representative to take me away. He says, let Ram come as a hero and punish Ravana. I will wait till then. So, Hanuman appreciated the devotional intent, that devotional mood that she wanted. Not just herself to be protected, but she wanted Ram's good name also to be protected at that time. And then he bade farewell to her. And then he came back. So at this point, when he, we will not go over all the adventures of his burning Lanka that we'll discuss in another session. But at this point, so when he and Sita are discussing the glories of Ram, that is the time when the Ramayana, as I said, attains its emotional climax. And then again there is separation. He assures Sita that Ram will soon come. And then he, after devastating Lanka, flies back. When he goes back, he goes straight to Ram. And then when he returns back, he gives the news to Ram that yes, Sita has been found. So in Sanskrit, there are sentences can be there is in English there has to be a fixed word order. First we have the subject, then we have the verb, then we have the object. Sita has been found. Sita is found. So, sorry? Yeah, so, then what he said is that in Sanskrit you can invert the word order. So, one of the acharyas explains that when Hanuman saw Ram, he just offered his obeisance and he said only, found! He's found! Because if he says Sita, that is not giving any information. What happened to Sita? Everybody is thinking about Sita, but what has happened? It's found. They all know what is to be searched for, what is to be found. So found. So Hanuman is found, has been Sita. And he speaks like that. So he is so sensitive to understand what Ram is going through. And he just speaks the essential message. It's found. So lost, not found. So like that. Now, one of my services is writing. So in the writing, we were told how an editor's mind works. So once the editor was having his home here and his office here. And along the way, there was a market in which there was a shop that sold fish. And then on top, it written, fresh fish sold here. So this editor was walking back, forth, and his editing brain was working. So then one day he went to the shopkeeper and he said that actually, you know, this notice is right below the shop. This shop is right below the notice. So why do you need here over here? Just write fresh fish sold. So the owner said, yeah, okay, makes sense. So he rubbed off, he overpainted that here. Then next day he came and the editor again thought about it. He says, no, this is a market. Nobody is going to have charity over here. So, why do you need sold over here? So he said, just have fresh fish. So he said, okay. Then he removed the sold also. Then after that, after some time the editor was passing by, again his editing brain was working. He said, actually, nobody is going to give rotten fish. Why do you need fresh? He says, yeah, makes sense. So he removed the fresh also. Then after that, a few days again, he came and he says, actually, you can smell the fish on the other end of the street also. Why do you need fish? So he deleted the fish also. So, now whatever, the point of communication is to communicate as concisely as possible. Sometimes that concise communication may mean that no words also are required. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Chaitanya Charitamrita says that actually eloquence means truth spoken concisely. So when Hanuman returns, the first thing he says, found. Sita has been found. First word he speaks is found. And Ram is delighted. And then Hanuman tells all his adventures of what all happened. And Ram here is completely engrossed. And at the end of it, when Hanuman finishes the full narrative, at that time Ram says that, oh Hanuman, the service that you have done to me is unparalleled. He says, if I had been a king, I would have given you opulent wealth. I would have given jewels, garlands, I would have given so much wealth. Oh Hanuman, but now I have nothing. I have nothing. So what can I give you? I give you my embrace. And he came forward and he pulled Hanuman a tight embrace. So the Acharya explain that this actually signifies Ram giving the greatest blessing to him. Because the Lord can give us many different blessings. But all the things that are valuable or attractive in this world, they have some temporary value and temporary attraction. Even the most attractive things stay attractive for some time. Afterwards, it doesn't stay attractive. He says, ultimately, the whole purpose of the world is to attract us towards the Lord. Everything attractive in this world manifests a spark of Krishna's attractiveness. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam shrimadurjitameva tattadevavagachatvam mama tejoamsha sambhava mama tejoamsha sambhava. Krishna says, everything manifests a spark of my splendor. So whatever is attractive in this world, we can get whatever pleasure we get from it and much more if we get Krishna, if we get the Lord. So the Lord is the Lord's greatest blessing. Wealth, health, power, prestige, all these are blessings. But the greatest blessing is the Lord Himself. So in one sense, Ram is saying, I have nothing to give you. And so I'll give you my embrace. But what the Acharya explained, what he means is that, you know, I will give you the greatest blessing. The Satchidananda, the form of the Lord, is the reservoir of all attractiveness. That is the form to which the devotee's heart is constantly attracted. And Hanuman is always devoted to Ram. At this point, that devotion attains its zenith in the reciprocation from the Lord, when the Lord pulls him into a tight embrace. For all the adventurous, fearless and dangerous things that Hanuman did in the service of the Lord, the result was that the Lord embraced. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami, one of the great Acharyas in our tradition, he describes in a book called Brihad Bhagavatamrit, how the soul who is in this material world returns back to Krishna. After a long, long journey through various levels of existence, when the soul returns back to Krishna, Krishna is so delighted. In fact, Krishna sees this Gop Kumar. Oh, my dear friend, where have you been? Krishna, when he sees Gop Kumar, is so delighted. Gop Kumar is delighted to Krishna, but Krishna is so delighted that Krishna faints in ecstasy. Now Krishna loses his Krishna consciousness. And then all the gopas who are there, he says, they all look at Gop Kumar and say, what did you do to our Krishna? I didn't do anything. He's scared. But then they bring some water and sprinkle water on him. And when they sprinkle the water, Krishna comes back to consciousness. And he says, oh, Gokwari embraces him. Welcome back. He says, you have been away from me for so long. Welcome, welcome. And he is delighted to have Gop Kumar back with him. So similarly for us, you know, we also have to go through many difficulties in the world, in our journey, in our service to the Lord, during our stay in this world. But at the end, the Lord is there to embrace us. Just as Hanuman was rewarded with the embrace of the Lord, similarly, we will be rewarded. If we faithfully serve Him through whatever difficulties we have, then we will be rewarded with the embrace of the Lord. That is the reward that Hanuman got, and that is the reward that beckons all of us. When we take inspiration from Hanuman, when we take inspiration from the Lord's pastimes and try to devote ourselves to Him. So I'll summarize what I spoke today. I started by speaking about how Hanuman is, he comes into his own in the Sundar Kand. In fact, the whole Kand is named after him and after the beauty, the sweet reciprocation that happens between him and Sita. This is the Kand when Ram is least present in terms of action, but Ram is most present in terms of recollection. The emotional climax comes in this Kand when the devotee of Ram, the consort of Ram and the servant of Ram reunite and they are intensely remembering him. So at the start, although Hanuman is not the foremost or not the leader of the group of monkeys, Angada is the leader, but still Ram singles him out and entrusts him with the signet. So when we are given some trust, when we are given some responsible service, our mind may interpret it as a burden. But if we see it as a trust, then oh, that even you feel I can do it, I'll try my best to do it. Then that responsibility, that reposing of trust can inspire us to bring out our best. Hanuman, when he single-handedly goes all the way to Lanka, at that time the journey is difficult and after going there also the there's no welcome. In fact, there is suspicion. So he has to not only go through all the vanaras, but even the person who is going to meet, she is also suspicious. So both Ravana and Hanuman change their forms, but their intention is opposite. Hanuman's intention is benevolent, Ravana's intention is malevolent. And by the common point, by focusing on what is common between him and Sita, that is Ram, by speaking about Ram, first general glories, then specific pastimes which nobody except Ram and Sita knew, and then showing the signet, he wins her heart. And then Sita reveals her sorrow, reveals her agony in separation from Ram. And Hanuman is ready to immediately take her back. So he is very careful in keeping his form small so that he's not detected. But at that particular point, he just forgets that. And he says, I'll carry you right now. Then he says, how can you carry? So then he manifests his big form. So sometimes we may act in a particular way, but we have to know that whatever is at the core of our heart, that will come out. So the service attitude was at the core, and that time the service attitude came out in a way which was not compatible with the form he had. Then he manifested a large form. And Ram came, and Hanuman eventually came back to Ram. At that time, Hanuman was offered the embrace by Ram. The external reason is, I don't have anything else to give you. But the internal understanding is that I am so pleased with you that I give myself to you. So the greatest blessing of the Lord is the Lord Himself. If we can become attracted to Him, if our consciousness can become fixed in Him, then thereby we get the greatest satisfaction. And thereby we get liberated. And just as Ram embraced Hanuman, welcoming him back, similarly, when the soul returns back to the spiritual world, Krishna welcomes him, reuniting, delighted to be reunited with the lost soul, as Krishna did with Gopakumar. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, are there any questions or comments? Sita gave one of her ornaments. She dropped some of her ornaments on the way when she saw these monkeys are there. At that time, she dropped those ornaments so that Ram will know. And the Vanaras picked up the ornaments and showed it to Ram. And that time, later, she gave one of her ornaments to remind Ram that, you know, there's actually the meeting has happened. And basically it was Dadati Pratigrahanati. We give a gift and we receive a gift. We receive a gift and we give a gift. So through that, Ram's desire, he was already very concerned about Sita and wanted to be with her. But then he saw that, oh, that Sita is there and I have to go to her. So that was how the reciprocation happened. And Hanuman was the medium through which the reciprocation happened.
My question is, like, Ram save the
okay.
momento, but like he already has the trust on Hanuman and Ram, but so why Sita gave the momento?
Okay. So why did Sita give? That was simply reciprocation. My Lord has given me something, so I should give something back to him. She did not have anything else to give.
Okay.
So Ram gave one of his signets, so she gave one of her jewels back. That's basically the dati pratigrahanati. Giving and receiving and giving. Reciprocation. Okay. Yes.
7 points on relationship, trust and breaking the wall, security. A lot of points. So as you mentioned, Kishkindaka and Hanuman just entered together, right? So how did he build the trust, or how did Lord Rama give him that major responsibility? And vice versa, Hanuman also built the trust both with Lord Rama as well as Sita, right? So how do we take this in real life, right? How do we build the trust, break the wall with an unknown person, especially if you don't have much context about the person?
Yes. So, how do we build a trust with unknown people? As I said, basically, focus on the common points. This is Hanuman and Ram, the common point. Sita and Hanuman, the common point was Ram. So, some ways, you know, if you meet a new person, if say they are from the same state where we are from, then we speak in a common language. That creates some bond with us. Or if we work in the same company, then there is some commonality. Now, if we may be the same profession, even if not in the same company, that creates commonality. So basically, there is a circle of our interests, circle of things which concern us, and circle of things which concern them. So we find the common point. That's how we move forward. That's how any relationship can grow. Otherwise, sometimes we meet people, and if we don't know what to talk, you know, we just make small talk. You know. So sometimes we may go to get together and 10 people, all of them ask, you know, the weather is good today, isn't it? The weather is good today. So we're just making talk. It's okay as a starting point, but you know, we should speak not because we have to say something, but because we have something to say. So in general, if we just come a little bit out of our box and try to think about what is it that is of concern to this person, which is also of my interest. So generally, one of the easiest ways to build trust with people is to ask them about their interests. If we don't know what their interests are, then just ask them about themselves. So when we ask them about themselves, and they may be reserved in speaking initially, but they speak a few things, and then we can find out, okay, what is it that is common between us? So basically, in every interaction, if it's not just a functional interaction, that means you go to a shop and buy something, it's functional, but it's something where we want to develop a relationship. So then we have to find out what their interests are and then check where that interest correlates with our interest. So if we take the time to hear, basically love or respect or affection, it can be conveyed in many different ways. But the beginning of doing it all is two things. To hear and to understand. To hear what this person has to say. And then not just hear the words to try to fit it into our worldview. Is to understand. In the whole Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter is Arjuna speaking to Krishna. So Arjuna is pouring out his heart. And throughout all, Krishna just hears. And Krishna understands what Arjuna is going through. And then later on, when Krishna speaks, Arjuna is ready to hear. Because Krishna has heard out Arjuna's case. So basically, when we understand, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to accept what they are saying. They may have some understanding which may not be exactly correct, or their opinion may be different from ours. But at least we understand. We show them that we understand. Suppose we go to a doctor, and even before we speak anything, the doctor gives a prescription. What? He says, what do you mean? You know, let me tell my symptoms. No, I know your symptoms. Now, even if the doctor is expert enough just to look at a patient and understand what the symptoms are, still the point is not just to give the prescription. The point of the doctor's interaction with the patient is also to inspire the patient to take the prescription. And for that inspiration to be there in the patient has to feel heard and understood. Okay, this is my problem, and the doctor understands my problem. And then the doctor is doing this prescription. So, if the doctor, although in a sense, it is the patient who needs the doctor. And in that sense, the patient has to put the trust. But the doctor has to earn the trust. Doctor has to understand. So, hear and understand. When they do that, and after that, when the doctor speaks, the patient, okay, makes sense. Patient will be more receptive to accepting it. So, similarly for us, in general, when we interact with others, the first thing we can do is hear and understand. If we do that, that itself is a significant step forward in not necessarily winning their trust, but at least beginning the process for earning their trust. Sometimes we just, when we are interacting with an entirely new person, it is like entering into darkness. We don't even know what is going to come next. But the one sure way by which we can turn on the light whenever there is darkness is just ask them about themselves. And to the extent they speak, we hear and we understand. Then to that extent, the light starts coming, and then we can find the common areas. Answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Yes, please.
A few months back, you know, we were having a get-together, and we ended up talking about Rama, Lord Rama. One of the Matas said, I don't like Lord Rama. And, of course, the question was, just because, you know, listening to Dobi, you know, he had left Mother Sita.
Mm.
So what was the message to the people of kingdom at that time, and what is the message for us? You know, why did Lord Rama do that? You know? Why did he leave Sita just by listening to the words of Dobi?
Yeah. So why did Ram leave Sita? Just by hearing some unsubstantiated accusation by a washerman. Actually, last time when I had come, I gave a whole class on this topic.
Yes, the 1 hour class.
The 1 hour class, but I'll try to speak in as briefly as possible here. Mainly, there is a conflict of duties. So if, firstly, let's start with the misconception. Is it that Ram himself suspected Sita? Is it Ram himself, for his own sake, rejected Sita? If Ram had suspected or rejected Sita on his own personal account, then he could immediately have got married to someone else. He did not do that. Not only did he not get married to anyone else, when the sacrifices had to be performed, at that time, he insisted that a golden image of Sita be made. And he put that in front, next to her. Now sacrifices, yajnas, require a certain level of purity. So if he had thought that Sita was impure, then how would he have had Sita in that sacrifice with him? So that means, from his perspective, from his personal perspective, he held Sita in so much regard that he considered her fit to be with him even for fire sacrifices. So in that sense, it was not Ram as a person, Ram as the husband who rejected Sita as a wife. It was Ram as a king who did that. So we all have different roles in which we have different responsibilities. And sometimes the responsibilities from different roles may go in conflict. So in this case, for Ram, it was important for him to ensure that as a king, he is exemplary. And his being exemplary meant that there should not be any suspicion about anyone connected with him also. So he had already taken preventive measures. Sita had already done the Agni Pariksha. And not only just Lakshman and others or Vanaras, even the Devatas had been present over there. So if in spite of that, still people were accusing, then what more could Ram do? So, if he decided to take action against those who were casting that accusation, that would only make him seem that he was so attached that anybody who accuses him, he takes vindictive action against them. So, he had his duty as a king, and he had duty as his husband. So, now these two duties came in conflict. A husband should always cherish and protect the wife. But as a king, he had to do what it took to maintain the position, the sanctity of the position of the king. So the way he found a solution was that he sent Sita away from her. Sometimes the word may be used that he exiled her. But exile is not the right word exactly. Because exile means one is sent out into the forest with absolutely no one to care for. But Ram sent Sita, yes, into the forest, but that forest was still in his kingdom only. And is right next to Valmiki's ashram. So in that sense, he knew that she would take shelter in Valmiki's ashram, and Valmiki will give her shelter. And Valmiki's ashram was under in his kingdom only. So in that sense, Sita was still indirectly under his protection. So the accusation at that time was that, just see, he's so attached to his wife that even though her character is suspect, still he's staying with her. So the accusation was not so much about Sita's character as about his attachment. There's a difference between the two. The accusation was that he's so attached to his wife that he, although she has stayed at some other man's place for so long, he's still taking her back. So it was a question about his attachment. So he actually, by sending Sita away, he showed that he was not attached. Now why is it so important for a king to show that he is not attached? Because the king has royal opulence with him. And the king's royal opulence means that the king can be attached materially more than anyone else. But when the king shows through his example that despite having so much, I am not attached, then that sets an example of detachment among the followers. So it was not, at one level, Sita was greatly mortified, devastated when she was sent away by Ram. But at the same time, she understood. She was shattered, but she understood what Ram was doing. And we may put this in terms of, Sita had to suffer so much. But for Sita, the suffering was not just being in the forest. The suffering was being separated from Ram. And Ram himself had to go through the same suffering. Ram did not try to find any substitute for Sita to get away from that suffering. So in that sense, actually, instead of seeing that Ram sent Sita away, it was circumstances which separated Ram and Sita, and because of which both of them suffered. So we could say Ram's situation in his interaction with Sita in the situation is similar to Dashrath's situation earlier when Dashrath had to send Ram away. Dashrath did not send Ram away because he considered Ram guilty, or he wanted to punish Ram, or he suspected Ram. Nothing like that. It was the word of honor which he had given earlier to Kaikeyi. So it was against his will, forced by situation, that Dashrath had to send Ram away. And that separation, it crushed Dashrath also. So similarly, for Ram, when he sent Sita away, it was not that he considered Sita wrong and that's why he sent Sita away. Rather, situations that forced him to do that. And he was as afflicted by that separation as was Sita. So the lesson that is taught through this is that it's a lesson of the importance of detachment. And at a higher level, there are many other levels of understanding also. There was a demon who had got a vow that he would never be killed as long as Lakshmi and Narayan are united. And he had got that benediction. And he thought Lakshmi and Narayan will never be separated. So therefore, I will never be killed. But then the Lord arranged in such a way that, actually this is, the two stories are there. So this is one story. So this is told by Madhvacharya in his Mahabharata Atparinirna, where he talks about Ramayana also. So he says that demon, that's why what happened was that after some time, for a few years, that Sita was separated. But eventually Ram said, enough, now I want to get Sita back. And then he calls Sita back. When Sita comes, at that time, she enters into the earth. But he calls Sita back at that time. So what happens is, at that particular time when he calls Sita back, till that time, the devatas are fighting with that demon. They're fighting. And the moment the demon is killed, at that time Ram calls Sita back. So there's a higher purpose for that. And so there's also another story that there was a demon who had taken shelter of Bhrigu Muni's wife. And this demon had been terrorizing the universe. And Bhrugumuni's wife, in his case of misdirected compassion, she said that he's under my protection now. I cannot, you cannot harm him. So Vishnu and the Devas were chasing after that demon. She said, no, he is not killed now. He will break havoc over the universe. No, he cannot be killed. So at that time, in order to get to that demon, Vishnu killed Bhrugu's wife. So it was not Vishnu who did that, but it was a mystical power by which it happened that she lost her body. Of course, Bhrugu arranged and Vishnu arranged for her to come back to life afterwards. But initially, when Bhrugu saw this, oh, you caused me to be separated from my wife, I curse you, you will be separated from your wife.
Oh.
So it was a series of previous life connections also, because of which this had to be done. At the highest level, we also saw that, understand that there is love in separation is considered the highest expression of love. So both Sita and Ram, they experience that highest expression of love, highest reciprocation of love in separation. So that is the various levels at which we understand Ram sending Sita away.
Okay. Thank you.
So shall we stop here? So thank you very much. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanadi.
Chaitanya Prabhu ki,
Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much for everyone for coming. Those who were not there yesterday we also had a similar nectar yesterday evening, and we are going to have three more sessions. One is today.